Welcome to Syracuse Speaks, a Syracuse Crunch-centric podcast. I'm your host, Alex Ackerman. This is season 6 of Syracuse Speaks. Let's get started. All right. It is October 22nd, 2023. It's Podcast Sunday. And if you are a Syracuse Crunch fan, which I imagine that you are because you're tuning into this podcast, if you're not, thank you so much for being here. If you are, thank you also for being here. If you are a Syracuse Crunch fan, I would imagine that you have to be happy with where the team is at this point in time. I have to admit that looking at the standings and looking at the games that the team has put together these past couple of games, it's not even a couple of weeks, it's been like a week that the Syracuse Crunch has been playing regular season games. Looking at the past week of games, this was not honestly where I expected the team to be, especially after watching a preseason where this basically same group of guys, they've had a couple of additions since then, but nothing that has drastically changed the makeup of the team. They were very much a team during those couple of preseason games where they were feeling each other out. They were feeling out Coach Joe Bouchard and his way of doing things. And Bouchard even admitted during some of the media videos that came out during Syracuse's training camp that he was throwing a lot at them. He was changing things up. He was doing things differently. What specifically those things were, I'm not really sure. But what we saw during preseason was a team very much feeling out everything and trying to put some of those things together. And there was a drastic improvement between that first game they played versus Rochester in Rochester to that second game they played versus Utica in Syracuse. It was encouraging, but truth be told, I did not expect to be sitting here a week into the season, a little bit over a week into the season, and be telling you all that your Syracuse Crunch is currently first place in the North Division with 6 points. I mean, okay, so yeah, 6 points. They've only played 4 games, right? They have 68 games remaining. The fact that they have 3 wins and 1 loss in 4 games so far this season doesn't say a whole heck of a lot. There is still so much hockey left to be played, and where Syracuse is right now is not indicative of where it will be come April. That would be fairly insane to predict that things are going to stay exactly like this for the next 68 games. However, it is encouraging to see some of the chemistry happening with this team. It is encouraging to see that some of the flow seems to be developing a lot quicker than I thought it would, personally. And it's also good to see that the coaching staff really is making an effort to differentiate it themselves from Coach Ben Grew and his legacy. I must not quote Hamilton right now. Legacy. What is it? Never mind. Okay. So moving on. Ben Grew was very much a stoic person. Behind the bench, he very rarely showed emotion. If he did show emotion, you knew something was really making him angry. Usually it was the officials, although not always. He never really gave much away to the media. He was one of those coaches where if he is praising you in the media, if you're a player that plays on this team, it was a big deal. I remember talking about this like with Patrick Williams several times, that whenever Ben Grew would point out certain players as doing good things or as deserving of praise, that was a big deal because generally Coach Grew was very reserved in his praise and very coy almost in how he talked about the team's performances and individual and as a whole. Coach Bouchard is different from that. Already, it seems like he's much more loquacious when he talks to the media. He seems to be okay with showing a little personality and showing a little bit of you know, what his expectations are and what's on his mind and what he's doing. And also those of us who were at the only home game during the regular season Syracuse has had so far, last Saturday, it was opening night. It was sold out. It was against Bridgeport. It was a very entertaining game. If you were there that night, one of the things you noticed was Coach Bouchard being very animated behind the bench, very emphatic when he was talking to his players, his gestures, his words, the way he would indicate what should be happening, and all of that kind of stuff was just very different from the way Coach Grew used to act behind the bench. So given all of that, I didn't expect Syracuse to take off the way that they have. I think it's a really good sign. I think that some of the consistent lineups that we've seen so far have been encouraging. You're already starting to see players begin to build some chemistry. So far, the last two games, so Syracuse has been in Cleveland this past weekend, so they weren't home at all. And the roster was pretty consistent from night one to night two. The main differences was that on the third line, Joe Carroll on Saturday night swapped in for Ilya Usayu. So he was drawn out of the lineup and Carroll swapped in. The defensive pairings have been pretty consistent. Declan Carlisle and Phil Myers have been Syracuse's top pairing, at least based on this past weekend. I think in Syracuse's first weekend, it seemed like Coach Bouchard and his team experimented a little bit with Myers and Sean Day being that top pairing, but that's challenging on a couple of levels. One, because those are the two veterans. So if you're pairing them up together, then the other lines are a little bit bereft in experience. So I like splitting the two of them up. I also think that Myers is a much stronger defenseman than Day. I think Day is that offensive defenseman that can be a little frustrating sometimes. So I thought that it was good to break that up a little bit, and it seemed to work well in Cleveland. It'll be interesting to be able to see it in person this upcoming weekend. The other major thing that happened with Syracuse's roster this past week was that Syracuse's goaltenders ended up being Hugo Alnefelt and Evan Fitzpatrick. The Carolina Hurricanes had loaned that goalie to Syracuse. Forgive me, names are tough and you all know that. So unfortunately, they had an injury. So Syracuse ended up having to recall Evan Fitzpatrick from the ECHL. And unfortunately, going by the score, and to be frank, the score is all I have to go on. I did not watch the games this past weekend. I actually had a friend in town and she stayed all weekend long, so I didn't watch the game. So I have no idea other than what the score sheet is showing me. So what I do know is that on Friday, October 20th, when Alnefelt was in net, Syracuse won 5-0. It was Alnefelt's first shutout of the season. I think with the departure of our friend from Carolina, Alnefelt was like, this is my time. I need to go out there and I need to show what I can do, because my competition, quote unquote, in net is now this ECHLer who's probably not going to provide much competition. Alnefelt went out there and did what he had to do. He stood tall and he got the shutout. And it's not as if he faced like a minimum of shots. He faced 35 shots on net Friday night. 11 in the first, 8 in the second, and 16 in the third. So Cleveland, they tried. You know, you definitely can't say that, well, he had it easy. You know, he only faced 20 shots on net or whatever. No, he faced a good amount, a fair, you know, the usual average amount for, it seems like, what AHL games should be. The following night, Fitzpatrick went into goal and Syracuse lost 4-2. Cleveland had 27 shots on net. He let in four of those goals. It was clearly not as much of a competitive game defensively. And, you know, again, I don't know how the teams played, but unfortunately, Fitzpatrick was in net for Syracuse's first loss of the regular season. So can we read really much from that? No. There's a big adjustment there for Fitzpatrick. You know, he didn't have a ton of time in between his call-up and needing to play. And unfortunately, this was the situation we were concerned about when Vavilevsky went down with that back surgery and we heard that he was going to be out until December. Like, this is what we were worried about. Are we going to continue to have to be worried about it? I don't know. We're going to have to see. So, you know, Carolina might end up loaning their goalie back to Syracuse at some point in time once things get healthy again. It'll be interesting to see. You know, it is nice to see Al Nifalt put together two solid games in the two starts he has had so far, because regardless of who else he is playing in tandem with, the Crunch need him to be strong. And the organization wants him to be strong. You know, they want him to have a really good season, because I think the Lightning is eyeing that spot behind Vavilevsky for next season if Al Nifalt can get some solid experiences and solid game under his net this year. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens in goal for Syracuse. The other thing that has been really positive so far this season is that Syracuse is getting, to some extent, that secondary scoring that it seemed like they were missing last season. The caveat here, obviously, is that this has to continue all season long. Currently, when we look at where Syracuse's players are in points, Felix Robert is at the top in points with 5. He has 4 goals, 1 assist. Robert has obviously had a really good season so far. He has shot off like a rocket to start off this season. 4 games played, 4 goals, 1 assist. He's at a really good pace right now, which is great. Mitchell Chaffee, who looked very impressive in preseason and Syracuse's first home game last Saturday, is right behind Robert with 4 points. His points are all assists, so he has 4 assists in 4 games played. He has looked really good, especially for someone as new and as young as he is. It's been great seeing him out there making the right plays, making stuff happen, doing what he needs to do to help out his line mates to get the puck in the net. That's been great. Going on down the line, all with 3 points in some variety, we have Lucas Edmonds, Daniel Walcott, and Gage Gonsalves, and Jack Thompson. So there's a mix of defensemen and forwards in there. Obviously, Jack Thompson is the defenseman. He's kind of the odd man out in that group. But this is what Syracuse needs to have happen. With talking about those players, you know, Daniel Walcott spent the weekend on the 4th line in Cleveland. And yet he is 4th on the team right now in scoring. Lucas Edmonds, he was on the 1st line. Felix Robert, he was on the 2nd line. Gage Gonsalves, he was on the 2nd line. You're seeing scoring coming from up and down the lineup right now. This is what needs to continue all season long. Moving on down the line as we look at players who have 2 points so far, Cole Koepke, Ilya Usau, and that's in 3 games because he didn't play this past Saturday. Team captain Gabriel Dumont, defenseman Sean Day, Tristan Allard, Gabe Fortier, and Emil Lilleberg. Those players are, again, players from all up and down Syracuse's lineup. This is what needs to keep happening. That spread between the player getting the most points and then going down to 13 out of the 23 players, including the goalies, on the team, the spread right now, you know, you have 5 points at the top and 2 points to that 13th player. That's not that big. That needs to stay like that all season long. As the guys at the top of that chart start scoring more, the guys all down the roster need to be contributing and helping out and really looking to make Syracuse more competitive than they were last season. The Crunch is off to a really good start. It'll be interesting to see where the rest of the season goes. Moving forward now, from the past into the future, what does Syracuse have on their plates in the upcoming weeks as we head into November and December? Coming up, Syracuse has, it's all North Division all the time for the next couple of games. Friday, October 27th, Syracuse is going to be facing, you guessed it, the Utica Comets. Friday is also Syracuse's Pink in the Rink night presented by the Upstate Cancer Center. I believe the mammogram mobile is going to be there to assist, and a lot of the proceeds from that evening are going to She's the First, which works with disadvantaged women and helping to get them consistent cancer-preventing medical care. This is always a wonderful night that the Crunch does. It's great when they shine a light on these types of causes. It's so important, and I appreciate the work that they do. Saturday, October 28th, it's another home game. It's versus Laval. They're coming into town for the first time this season, and that evening is the team's Halloween Spooktacular, which is always fun. Kids can come in costume. There's trick-or-treating out on the ice usually at some point in time, so it's a very, it's a neat night, and it's always fun to see the kids come to the game in costumes and be able to share that experience in a dry environment, which, let's be honest, most outdoor Halloween activities and fun generally aren't dry this time of year in Central New York. So kind of cool. November 1st at Rochester. November 4th, which is a Saturday, versus Rochester. So Rochester is coming into town. It's like a home and home series, but there's time in between to let whatever happens during those games cool off before the next one. So that's probably good. Saturday, November 4th also is the Crunch's Shine a Light on Lung Cancer Night. So a lot of health initiatives aimed especially at marginalized communities who historically have a tough time getting medical care and consistent medical care and accurate medical care. So Shine a Light on Lung Cancer Night is Saturday, November 4th. November 8th, it's another Wednesday game. Syracuse is traveling to Belleville. And then November 10th, which is a Friday, and November 11th, which is a Saturday, Syracuse has a home and home against Wilkes-Barre. So that is the first time in that series of games that Syracuse is outside of the North Division. All of the other games, Rochester, Belleville, Laval, those are all within the Crunch's division. So some important early season points there that Syracuse can look to grab. And then 10th and 11th, home and home versus Wilkes-Barre. That Friday, November 10th game, which is on the day that the United States is observing Veterans Day, is Syracuse's Military Appreciation Night. So always a nice time, and it is special this year that it's actually on Veterans Day. So that's kind of cool. I'm not entirely sure, to be honest, what exactly my recording schedule for November is going to be. It's a little bit weird having Thanksgiving in the middle of everything. So that is probably about as far as I am going to look into the schedule at this point, because I'm assuming I will probably be recording at some point in there. But there's some fun events and promotional nights coming up for the team. There is some tough North Division competition coming up in the teams that Syracuse is going to play. Obviously, it's really, really early, but, you know, reading tea leaves is not my specialty. However, I can say that Rochester, who Syracuse plays quite a bit in that stretch, is right behind Syracuse in second place. Belleville, who Syracuse also is going to see in that stretch of games, is in third. And Laval is currently in sixth. Utica is in seventh. I am sure that Utica, in particular, would like nothing more than to start their season turnaround against Syracuse. So they're going to be looking to make some moves and really try to be prepared for that game in particular. The standings really mean nothing at this point in the year, but it is kind of fun just to take a look at where everybody is. Just for the heck of it, taking a glance over in the Atlantic, at this point in time, Wilkes-Barre is fifth. So they're very much middle of the pack right now. It'll be interesting to see what they bring into Syracuse and how all of these teams play against a crunch team that still has a lot to figure out, doesn't have as much firepower as I think we all would like, but is starting to click and is starting to get on the same page with the new coaching staff and is clearly doing things right, or they wouldn't have the record that they have at this point in time. This is different, I do have to say, than what we have seen out of the team under Coach Ben Grew. In fact, I believe I saw something from the team that said that the last time Syracuse started the season by sweeping opening weekend, as they did this season, was 2016-17. It is way too early to tell if this team can even sniff at what that 2016-17 team achieved. That team was the last time Syracuse went to the Calder Cup final. That team was the last time Syracuse went deep into the playoffs. That team looked very different, even at this point in the season, from the team that currently is playing in Syracuse. There was more firepower on that team. There was more veterans. You know, the talent level was just higher, and it got even higher as the season went on. However, all of that aside, it is a little tantalizing to think about where this team is right now and where that team was right now and how they've all lined up together and if they'll continue to sort of be on that same path as each other as the season goes on. Because, of course, there's other parallels to that season too that we could talk about, including the fact that that was Coach Ben Grew's first year with the organization. So again, brand new coaching staff, the Lightning cleaned house in 2016. They brought all new people in. The Lightning cleaned house in 2023. They brought all new people in. And the season has started out really good. Whether those parallels will continue is definitely something I will be keeping an eye on, and I'm sure all of you will be too. I think that will do it for this week's episode. As always, thank you so much for listening. I crave interactions and feedback, so please feel free to get in touch with me over Twitter. And I'm still calling it Twitter because I refuse to call it the new name. My personal Twitter is at Allovimo, as always, Allovimo. Keep taking care of each other out there in Crunchland, and I will see you next time.